Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast. We are a podcast for theme park fans. I'm Bex. This is Kev.
Hi, guys.
And as we're getting towards the end of the season now, I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe sum up some of the scare attractions that we've seen this year, some of the things that the park have done for Halloween. Obviously, we've still got a few days to go until Halloween comes around and they all kind of stop for the year. But it'll be interesting to sort of sum up what parks have done, what's been good, what's been not so good, and kind of get our thoughts on it.
Parkcast.
I think to start off with, let's go to Alton Towers. Let's go to Scarefest, because we talked about this a few weeks ago and kind of what their plans for Scarefest were, what our thoughts on what it was going to be, whether it was going to be disappointing. And now we've both been. So we can sort of give firsthand experience of what we experienced there. Now, as I said on the podcast, I don't do scare attractions and scare mazes at all. I go through the curse of Alton Manor and I come off pretty much crying. So they're not for me. So what I've also got with us on the podcast today is my husband, who I sent into the scare mazes on my behalf.
Sacrificial lamb, I think, is
the term. So, just for some context as well, when we're talking about scare mazes, and he went through Compound and Altonville Mine Tours and Burial Grounds. His day job is flying Typhoons for the Royal Air Force. So, like, you've literally been to war, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've seen sights in Afghanistan that none of us want to see. So we'll put that on the scale of when we're talking about these scare attractions, like zero to war.
When you've got someone coming up to you going, you will face the Wicker Man, it's not quite the same.
Not quite. Or someone getting in your face in one of the scare mazes.
Yeah. So we've got that for context when we come to discussing them. So, okay, let's start this then. So first of all, we went to Scarefest on a weekday. There was staggered ride opening. So we stayed at the hotel the night before so we could go through the Galactica Gate, which is great. Love that. Nemesis was open first thing. Got on that really quickly. Galactica and Subterra were not open for another hour. Not ideal, I don't think. I think if you're in, you know, if you're in that end of the park and Skyride isn't working, it's not great to just go on Nemesis and then be like, right, now we need to walk somewhere else. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Galactica, I had to catch myself then and not call it air, as I keep doing. Galactica was meant to be open at park opening, but I think there was an issue there that's kind of meant that it was into staggered opening. Subterra, and this is the frustrating thing, because you pull out the Alton Towers app and it goes, oh, it's open at this time. Surprise, surprise, it's not quite true. Subterra was delayed until 11 a.m. I think. But Galactica should have been open at the same time as Nemesis, which would have helped that part. But then, as we saw throughout the day, Galactica never really recovered because it probably ran one train. We didn't actually go on it that day.
The queue for Galactica was 50 minutes pretty much all day on a weekday. Which
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm not queuing that. In terms of scare maze, obviously, Kev, you went a couple of days after us, and you you went into Dazz Games Panic.
Yes. Yeah.
Which no doubt was absolutely terrifying for you.
Not really.
What's terrifying really was the price you paid.
Well, you see, scare mazes, like, for me, aren't too bad, because having done theatre and performance and acting in the past, actors don't tend to bother me, because I'm like, hey, cool, I like how you're portraying that role. And you can't help but watch. Exactly. You can't help but watch something and be like, I'm interested in how you're getting to character here for this. So for me, I don't like confined spaces. So anything that's like where I'm slightly claustrophobic. So that's the stuff that gets to me. But I think with the Dazz Games, because it's in that kind of marquee, in that kind of area, it's just very open. The old conference center, but it's very open. And when actors come up to me, like, oh, hello, have you seen my symbol? I can't seem to find it. And, you know, it's like that sort of thing. It was very similar to last year, though. A lot of it's, even though it's meant to be reloaded. Me personally, I think it's something that fits better at Thorpe Park than at Towers, if that makes sense. I think the nature of how it's designed to be, it always felt like this probably belongs at Thorpe and not at Towers. But I guess it's an interesting one, because it's very different to any of the other kind of mazes that you do, because you're trying to search and find something. And if you are someone that is slightly nervous in the dark and there are people roaming around and they do touch you and come up to you, then I can imagine it being quite a scary one, particularly because unlike normal mazes, you kind of are following a particular route through to get to the end. Whereas in this, you are literally having to walk around a space. There's a lot of smoke around, flashing lights, and you are trying to find something on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I guess that's probably what would make it scary. You know, you're not like doing the classic maze thing where you've got your hands on someone's shoulder and you're walking in that kind of do-do-do, come and do the conga line as you go through these mazes.
Let's talk about Altonville Mine Tours, which is back for its ninth year. Obviously, this is Tiny's Revenge. So, Nick, you went through this. You hadn't been through it before, actually.
No, I got halfway up the tunnel the first time, and then they evacuated someone out, so I didn't actually get to do it a few years ago.
Yeah.
So this time was my first kind of exposure to it. Mm. And Kev, you kind of touched on it already. It's when you call them scare mazes, you get this impression that you have to find your way out. But actually,
yeah.
Tiny's Revenge was very much, as you say, that conga line of people going all the way through. And that kind of detracts a little bit from for me as well. And what I find kind of on reflecting is they all kind of come from the same recipe, don't they? It's you rock up,
yeah.
You have the pre-show, then you follow your way through, and you know generally what's going to be coming. And that's kind of why I particularly find them not particularly terrifying.
That's interesting, Nick, because saying that's your first full run through, that you're kind of used to the formula, even though it's your first time through, because you know it's been there for so many years. And that was always my problem with it, was that because it's the same thing over and over again. But if you're used to the Merlin kind of formula of how they do their mazes, I suppose, I know we've not talked about, we were going to talk about Compound, but the beginning of it is really interesting. But then after that, you go into the kind of normal formula of the how these mazes work.
Yeah, basically. And it's hard, isn't it, I suppose? Because for Merlin, it's like, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And actually, that's a well-trodden path for them, and that's what they keep churning out and probably keep going to. And it's probably quite a risk to step off that beaten track and go, okay, this year we're going to do something completely different. But from my point of view, it would be great to think that you're in that that kind of standard recipe where it's like, okay, I'm going to go into the pre-show. But actually, no, it's just kicking off straight away.
But you did have a good jump scare. In Mind Tours, didn't you?
It was really good, actually. It wasn't. You would have lost your mind. I don't know how many spoilers I can drop in this. But
it's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. So Mind Tours, right, let's go back into it. So pre-show, really cool. Set up the scene of what's going on. It didn't actually take me too long to get in, which I thought was great. You're there in the tent at the side of Towers. The sheriff's given him your lowdown of basically what's happened, the setting of the scene, and then as you'd expect, the power flickers off. It's like, oh, it's going all dark. I wonder what's going to happen next. And brilliantly, and I have to take my hat off to them here, the power comes on and I have someone in a gas mask and dressed up who towers over me, which is probably not hard. They're only like 5 foot tall. In my face, literally about a centimeter away from my nose, just stood there, and I've not heard them approach. I didn't feel them approach. It's like, bravo. That would be brilliant. Had that been Bex, there would have been...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I've seen her on Curse of Old Manor, and she's hiding her face from Emily Alton at the end. So if that's that, oh, my goodness.
Okay. But then for Mind Tours, then you're going into the standard flow of working your way around. For the first part, I thought it was meant to be a mine, but I thought it was overly dark, so you didn't really take much in of what was going around, and you kind of lost the effect of some of the actors, I thought. There were lots of actors in there, which was great to see.
Yeah.
But again, because of that conga line, they're hitting the line at different parts. So depending on where you are in that line, you can have a different experience. And also, if they're always traditionally hitting the front of the line and you're halfway down, you see what's coming as well. So it kind of desensitizes you to that jump scare as well. Well, splitting you up into smaller groups, I know then your throughput decreases, but then that would probably increase it in my point of view. But again, in terms of tight spaces, Kev, you'd love that. There's a part that really
I know.
Pushes you down. Yeah. But overall, I thought the experience was good. How it was laid out, the number of actors in there, I thought overall it was good. For me, they're not overly scary.
On a scale of zero to war,
we're always going to be in the low average here, I think. Always in the low average.
Yeah.
So in terms of scare, absolutely scary, I think adding in that first jump scare, I think you're probably looking at 4 or 5.
Okay.
So not
it was £12, wasn't it, for a one shot
yeah.
on Mind Tours?
Like you were saying about, like, you know what's coming. I think that was always my problem with Terror of the Towers and the Attic, was a lot of that you can see them.
Yeah.
And I think the things that you get, you are the jump, how they're able to navigate different pathways. So when you walk through, you don't know that they've got a point where they can come out, you know. But I think there's certain times on the Attic, I think there was an issue, was that you can just see them ahead. So I'm like, well, I'm already prepared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I can see it. Yeah.
Moving on then to the Compound, which obviously the new one for this year. So you went on that one after Altonville Mind Tour. So you'd already kind of been set up in a way for it. Again, another one shot, £12. And you could literally do it there and then, and you got straight on, didn't you? How did you find Compound? Because you've been on Project 42 a few years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we both thought it's probably going to have similar vibes, similar location, Nemesis kind of, you know, inputs into it. But how do you find Compound as an overall, but also comparing it to Mind Tours?
So it's interesting. I've got a few opinions of other people, but for Compound, love it. Absolutely love it. For me, it's got absolute Project 42 vibes about it. And I know that didn't really hit home with some people, but it sits in the right location. You got the Phalanx, you got Nemesis, etc. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And what I like about Compound is the absolute assault on the senses that you get in there. The noise, the smell, the smoke, the lights, everything is just attacking your senses.
Do you have the, in Project 42, I remember, because I did get dragged through that one, which is why I never again.
Oh my goodness.
You had this bit where there was like plastic bags that you had to walk through, it's like polythene.
Oh yeah, just and, a spaces yeah, of tightness.
Is there anything like that in there? Or?
No, but the great thing about Compound is, unlike Mind Tours, where it is you know the route you're going, Compound, there are multiple different ways you can go, and you can definitely become your own person within there and go, okay, I'm not actually going to go that way, I'm going to go a different way. Clearly, for me, I'm just taking in the sights, looking at what's going on.
Nice day out.
People are screaming around me. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. I put my picnic blanket down here and have a look. But yeah, so clearly if you're terrified in that situation, you're going to be looking for the exit rapidly. So you might not find other things. But the great thing is then, if you wanted to do that again, experience is going to be different because you're going to be fed a different way. The pods at the start are going to put you into a different part of that maze as well.
Okay, so let's go back to the start. Do you go in as a group?
So, yeah, so you'll be outside. And what I'll say about the structure as well, it looks like a fairly permanent structure.
It does actually,
are properly concreted, tarmacked in. So whatever that Compound becomes in the future, that structure is going to remain. So it's going to give them that opportunity and flexibility in the future. You'll go in, you'll get separated into your numbers, and then you'll go round effectively the back of the entrance to Compound, and then they'll kind of grab you, they'll split you up. That's the standard kind of thing, isn't it? You're very obviously a couple, they'll grab you, put you in a different pod, and you go into what is effectively a very small cupboard holding cell with a plastic door. Very well done. TV in the middle, obviously showing the pre-show as well, which builds you up into this, right, we're going to experiment on you, tough, it's your own fault. And then, oh, something's happened, right, we need to not evacuate you, but all the locks come off and it allows you into the maze. And then you've got, obviously, Phalanx doing their job, and then the Nemesis creatures and eggs, etc., bouncing around as well.
But it's at that point, you're going around on your own then, because it's a maze, you're not with someone in your group.
You are put into twos within the pods, but because of the multiple routes, then you end up just crossing over different people at all points, which is great as well, which means that even if you're ahead of the group, you might take a different route, and then the group kind of will bypass you. I say group, but everyone's kind of a one or a two in there, which makes it greater because you're not seeing what's happening. Everyone's experience is different.
Yeah.
Which is how it should be. And like I said, it's all that at the same time, that assault on the senses, which means that your brain and eyes are struggling to compute what's going on. And then you've got someone in the dark leap out at you in an alien suit or a phalanx that appears out of nowhere. It's just brilliant. And like I said, it's very much Project 42. Best bit of Project 42, I thought, was the mad strobe lights in one of the rooms that you walked into, which completely decimated your vision. And then 2 seconds later, you've got someone about an inch off your nose in your face. It's like, I did not see you coming. And again, it's brilliant. Mm. So yeah, Compound, amazing. Definitely a firm favourite for me in that.
So again, on your scary scale?
It's not scary. I've got to rank it higher than Mind Tours. So it's got to be, let's call it a six. Call it a six. Possibly
a
seven.
That's not bad for somebody who doesn't scare, because you don't scare at all.
No, not at all.
Literally going around Curse of Autumn Manor is a lovely, you might as well be going around Toil and Tours.
Hilariously, yeah. The only thing that made me jump on that whole day was coming off Subterra. And you think it's all gone. You're walking out, and then this hand appeared out of nowhere. And I'm not even sure it was meant to be there. Just appeared out of nowhere. I was like, where's that come from?
Wow.
It was your first time on Subterra as well, wasn't it?
It was, and will probably last as well.
So Burial Grounds as well, that's back for 2024. Like last year, I think from what I've seen, it is exactly the same as last year. Did you go through it, Kev, as well?
Yeah. It's the route's pretty much all set up the same. There's a few character changes towards the end. I think this is the same with a lot of the mazes, and it depends on the run you get through, because you have it where sometimes you'll go through and you'll be like, I didn't see anyone. There was one or two actors, and then other times you've just got like double the amount. So like yesterday when I went through it, there was hardly anyone at the beginning, and then there was about three or four people at the end. So it's felt a bit uneven, whereas mm-hmm. like last year I felt like there was, and I guess that could just be the run through that I went through, but there's times where you're going through and there's no one there, and it's like, oh, okay, I've just done half the maze or half the walkthrough and not seen anyone yet.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's a nice kind of free walkthrough, and it fits in with Wicker Man, so it's always quite effective having it where it is, basically.
My first time as well. And actually, yeah, for the location with it in the park and where it sits with Wicker Man, I thought it was really good and fit that theming really well. For me, I thought the actors were quite well spread when I ran through, probably five or six actors total. So not a huge amount, but you wouldn't expect so for a free run through.
Yeah.
But in terms of the effects and what they were trying to do, if you remember the bit at the end that where you go into a very dark room, it's got ropes coming down.
I fully
expected someone to be stood in the corner in there.
And yeah.
I felt like they missed a trick by not putting someone in there with you, at least to mess with you a little bit.
Well, I don't think because I know last year it was full of smoke as well, which it wasn't when I went through it
the
day. But last year it was full of smoke. So you were walking through this tunnel with like the drapes hanging down. You couldn't see in front of you at all because of how thick the smoke was. So I was a bit disappointed to see they'd not done that this year, because again, that was quite effective, because you're walking through like what felt like a fire tunnel, like a smoke tunnel, and no one does jump out, but it gives you that anticipation of, oh, is there someone there, basically?
Yeah, I kind of stopped in the middle. I was like, come on, someone's got to be in here. Come on, don't mess with
I know,
that.
They
weren't there, which was disappointing. But overall, for a free run through that's put on by the park, I thought it was really good. It's nice to see.
They just need to do more of that. And again, that's what Alton does really well, is that, you know, they do this themed mazes that are linked with their attractions. And I think that's why they're quite effective.
All right, well, thank you for your input into that. You may now leave.
Thank you. I'm going to have to go.
To the end of my usefulness.
Podcast.
Okay, so anything else on Scarefest for you, Kev?
Well, I think the interesting thing for this year was them doing those kind of maze passes.
Oh, like the unlimited...
That's right, yeah. Those... So I have actually...
Why would you want to do it?
Well, if you do enjoy going round and round again, if you like that sort of thing. So I do know someone who has one. It's very good. If you live close to Alton and you know you want to go regularly and go around mazes, they're not timed. You literally just, you know, you'll go to the entrance of the maze and scan yourself through, and you just go through and you can go round and round.
It gets boring.
Do you know what the thing with like the mazes, like we've just touched on, is it depends on the run through you get. I think you know, I think sometimes you get a run through where it's really intense. You've got loads of actors, and maybe there's not that many people. So like when we did Daz Games Reloaded the other night, there was only four of us. It was like double the amount of actors than there were people going through. So those sorts of experiences are quite good, because I think it is more immersive and a lot more intense when there's less of you. So I think it does depend. So you might have a bit of a weird run through where, you know, you catch it with another group, let's say, because people are scared and they're not moving. So you get, you know, you catch up with, you know, with people in front of you. So I think it's good, because you might get a not so great run through, but if you've got a pass, you just, you know, you're going to go back round. And because it's about £34, I think, isn't it, for all the mazes? So you only have to do them a couple of times and you're making your money back. So,
yeah.
And because there's less of them, what you had this time is, I guess, you've got less people doing that thing where, you know, the queues are filling up with people who have got these passes and or they're sharing out spoilers. And I think they've worked well for that. But it's still weird, you know, gone are the days where you're queuing 90 minutes for Terror of the Towers, because that's what people did. You know, you'd spend probably your evening at Scarefest where you queue, you know, an hour, 90 minutes, you know, for the Sanctuary, then the same for Terror of the Towers, and then again for whatever the other mazes, whether it was like the Boiler House or Carnival of Screams, and, you know, going back a while now. But I think it's very different. And the park, you know, talks a lot about how popular these mazes are, but been a few times now and very rarely that big a queue.
Do you think that's because they've you know, got time slots and stuff like that, whereas maybe when they first started it was just a turn up when you want and everyone kind of went for the 7 o'clock as it was getting dark? I don't know why. Everyone seems to want to go through mazes in the dark, and I don't really get it because it's dark in there anyway, right?
It's definitely different. It creates a very different atmosphere, particularly the mazes that have an outdoor section to them. Yeah, I think when it's inside it's different. Yeah. But I think you almost want to be in that atmosphere in the dark and queuing in those queue lines in the dark. If you do like Burial Grounds, for example, it's very different the daylight.
I saw someone say actually that they were annoyed that Burial Grounds didn't open till 5 o'clock, and I was like, well, why are you annoyed about that? Like, surely you don't want to be going through it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No one's going to be going through at that time. I mean, you might do because it's free and you go through and experience it. What's it like when you can see where you're going? But I think the other thing is that one of these mazes was always free. So there was always a big queue because Carnival of Screams or Terror of the Towers went through its many different versions. But the standard was still pretty similar to the other ones. What I think they need to do is do more of these free kind of maze zones and get people to go through them. Because if you're someone that's never done one before, normally by doing them when they're free, you realize actually maybe they're not as bad and I enjoyed that. Maybe I will go and pay to do the other mazes. You know, I was just thinking about it because the mazes don't seem as busy as I remember like 10 years ago when you were queuing an hour, 90 minutes for mazes. So
obviously this year at Alton Towers, they've got Burial Grounds as they had last year. Before that, for a couple of years, they had the Whispering Souls light thing through the garden. Now, what I notice as someone who doesn't like scare mazes is actually for me, I would prefer to go and have a little wander around that with my toddler who's come to Scarefest for the day in CBeebies Land whilst my husband did some of the scare mazes. But you haven't got that option. I guess it's a case of you can only have one or the other. You can't have Burial Grounds and something like that because just of the cost. But for me, that was a little bit of a shame that you don't have that option anymore, because I actually think they did that really well.
I think it was one of my favourite things they actually did. I think the gardens are one of those things that are forgotten about, and actually what they did really well, and they did it at Christmas as well, was one of the things they try and do is utilize the gardens and get people to walk around them. And when they did it for Halloween, like, if you're not a scare maze person but you still get to be in that Halloween kind of vibe, I think the gardens was really good. There was some really creepy bits in it. The thing I loved was the whisperer on the water. They had that boat with the hooded figure sat out on the water. And there was that the sound effect of someone whistling in the dark. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. That's really creepy. Because you couldn't quite, the way it was lit and everything, well, you couldn't quite see it. And yeah, I don't quite understand why they don't want to do that again, because all it requires is just setting it up.
Yeah, it's an installation. And then, you, like you say, you've got it for
you
Christmas.
You just set it up.
Change the colours.
You left it there for Christmas. you're just twinkling lights and everything.
And
that was it. And you're offering something else. But
campaign to bring that back, please.
Yeah,
we can have
mine tours for 8-9 years. But no, we can't put any more lights in the gardens. Sorry.
Okay, that's probably us exhausted on Scarefest. Let's move to another Merlin park for some comparison. So Fright Nights at Thorpe. So from what I've heard, it's been a pretty good year for Fright Nights. I think, you know, it's had some good years and bad years. This year seems to be one of the better years. From a mazes point of view, seem to be better received than the Scarefest mazes, a bit better creatively executed, a bit more scary, a bit more intense, which I guess, you know, you want that at Thorpe, don't you? The park is aiming.
It fits the park. Yeah. That's why Fright Nights, I think, maze-wise, was always better than the ones at Towers, I think, because there's more options, but I think also because of the fact that they're able to very creatively change the mazes more regularly. And yes, a lot of the time, it's the case with a lot of these mazes as well, is that sometimes the new ones aren't as good. But I think that's because they're finding their feet. And then next, when they get to year two or year three, they're a lot better. I just wonder if at Thought Park they've got a team that are very better at being more creative with their mazes and churning these, you know, mazes out, and giving the audience what they want, which I think's what I think struggled with at Towers, is that they seem to go along with the, well, it works well, let's keep it that way, and we'll put our attention onto other things. Whereas Fright Nights, it seems our attention is really on these mazes, and you know, they'll go for a couple of years, and then I think overall maze wise Thought Park is better. It, as a general overall event, Scarefest probably is better, but mainly because of the target market and that it's for everybody. So they've got to try and, you know, figure out mazes and attractions for kids and families that aren't too intense or scary. So they've invested a lot into doing that. They've got the shows in CBeebies Land, you've got the shows on the main stage, and then the mazes. Whereas I think Thought Park overall might not be as good as an event as a whole as Scarefest is. I think if you're looking for mazes, you'd go to Fright Nights.
Yeah. Well, it seems like this year, so they have got a new maze for this year, which is Deadbeat. And like you say, it, from reports, it seems to be like it needs to bed in a little bit. It's not quite as, you know, it's not quite there. It's good, but it's not as good as some of the other mazes, which have actually been there longer. So like Survival Games, that's mm-hmm. that seems to be the favourite that people yeah. are coming out with. Stitches, which was there last year, that's back, but better yeah. than last
just
year.
Just because they've been able to look at it and you
tweak
like
it
anything.
And, yeah.
yeah, you look at anything, go, right, what didn't work? Well, you know, we can improve on it.
And you've got trailers back as well, which, you know, again, also yes. it's getting really good reviews. And
yeah.
It's got lots of references to like previous mazes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's quite, you know, from a geeky
we like that sort of stuff. Yeah, any Easter eggs and stuff to old things is always very cool.
And of course, you got the option of Hyperia yeah. in the dark. It was yeah. running one train on the first night of Fright Nights, which, you know, is not ideal. No one wants to be queuing.
Not ideal,
no.
Because then you got to make a choice, and that's always the thing with these events as well. Is that if you're only there once, what are you going to do? Because there's mazes you've got to try and get through. And if you want to do Hyperia in the dark, which is you know going to be amazing. But you've got to make that choice, haven't you? If it's running on one train, you've got, okay, so it's going to be 2 hours. That's 2 hours of my time in the evening, isn't it? So
that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Tricky.
When it's dark. What I like to try and do, and I managed to nail this when I went to Scarefest the other day, is for Wicker Man, for example, get in the queue whilst it's light, but at the point where once you finish the queue, it will be yeah. dark, like just then, because then it's like you've maximized
yeah.
your night riding. So yeah. getting, it was 45 minutes, like getting about 5:30. And then by
so if you want to do a Hyperia, get in the queue
yeah.
for three, 4 o'clock, have your tea with you. And then by the time you're on it, brilliant, dark, and you can then do the mazes after.
Perfect. So that's Thorpe. Now, obviously last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Pleasure Beach in quite a deep amount of detail, and they're back this year with Journey to Hell, which is an event which started it only in 2019. So I think we've got to put this in some context when we compare it to something like Scarefest, which has been running for, I don't know, how many years of Scarefest? It must be 15.
So when it was Spooktacular, so this I'm going back to like 2002, 2003.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of time period. And then
whoa.
They had the whole legal issue with noise, so they cancelled that. They had stopped doing fireworks. They went for a period of not doing any Halloween or fireworks. And then I think it was about 2007. We got Scarefest as it was back again. So that's when we got then all the mazes and stuff came back. So
in comparison, Blackpool Pleasure Beach's offering is very, very new. And I know they, you know, in years gone by, because my birthday is always around, it's around Halloween, and I went for like late night riding, and they had the park open till midnight at Blackpool, but they didn't have Halloween stuff. It wasn't a Halloween event. So Journey to Hell started in 2019. It's back this year. It's not getting great reviews, which I think is a shame, because I think the idea is there. I just think they haven't quite nailed the execution of it. So how it works is everyone empties out the park at 5. And if you go into Journey to Hell, you have a separate ticket for that. So that's one thing. Yeah. You have to pay twice.
Yeah.
You can't get like a combi ticket. You have to leave at 5. The park reopens at 7 for Journey to Hell, and it is £45. So
okay.
That's 7 p.m. till 10. So it's, I would say it's on the expensive side for a 3-hour experience. You've got a bit of a fanfare at the entrance, you know, very Amanda Thompson, stilt walkers, fire breathers, that kind of stuff. She's putting on a show, and I get it. I get the concept. I get the idea.
And you're trying to be different as well. That's what was saying with Blackpool, wasn't it? It's trying to find, okay, these parks are doing this. What can we do that's different?
It's different, yeah. And what they are doing that's different, and what I love, is they're trying to incorporate their attractions that exist and turning them into scare attractions. So Alice in Wonderland, which, let's be honest, even without any additions, is a creepy
terrifying
ride. and the ghost train, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, allegedly actually haunted. They're using those as part of Journey to Hell and putting live actors in them, which I love. I've said forever, like, why don't parks do this, especially when you've got a creepy attraction? Just stick a few scare actors in there and turn it into something else. So I love that they're doing that. What I don't love is that it's a one-shot ticket on them. So you only get to go on both of those once as part of your experience.
Oh, really?
Which, I mean, you've paid £45 and you're like, And the problem with it is, with everyone going on it once, everyone goes on them, and then there's no one in the queues for them. So you've got ride staff there. The rides are empty. You've got people at the event who would love to go on it again, and they can't. So that just seems a bit like, come on, if you've got them, let's give everyone, you know, as much as they want.
Yeah, it was like we were saying about those experiences. If you know, if you get a good run through or not so good run through, sometimes, you know, you want to go through again. You know, I think it's a shame. You have to pay to get in, and then that's kind of it. I think it's a shame you can't pay to get into Blackpool and then have a discounted one, you know, to then spend the rest of the evening there.
Like,
so
an add-on.
You've
also, it's not just those rides open. So, one thing to mention, so Grand National was supposed to be part of this. Don't think they were going to have scare actors hidden around the Grand National. That would have been a bit weird. But it was supposed to be open as part of the event. The whole sort of north side of the park's open, including Valhalla, if you fancy getting soaked at 8 p.m. at night in October. But it snapped a lift chain, so it's now closed. I believe Icon has taken its place, which is fine. You know, who doesn't want that? But if the north side of the park is the only side that's open, you've got a bit of a walk down to the Icon entrance. Mm-hmm. Compared to where everything else is kind of happening. So that's a bit annoying. But, you know, they haven't just gone, oh, Grand National's out of action, so tough. They have, you know, they've tried to fix it. They've offered something else. Can't fault them for that.
Didn't mention, obviously, with what we were saying about Blackpool, the things that aren't open. And if Grand National's going to be down as well, is that another... adding to that list of things.
You actually look at the unavailable attractions list at Blackpool and it's like, oh god, it's quite extensive at the moment. They've got a walk through a scare zone as part of it, which is kind of near the River Caves area under there, which is all a bit dingy and a bit creepy anyway, so that's nice. And that's kind of it. So I think for me, the concept is great. Love that they're opening the park, you know, into the evening. Love that they're using their own attractions. You can buy a bolt-on ticket for Journey to Hell, which includes Passage del Terror, which...
Okay, yeah. No, oh, yeah, you. Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously you know, Scare Maze that's there all year round, so you can have that on if you want to. It's an extra cost. But love that the park's there and open, half of it active. But I just think they need to tweak it a little bit, include more goes around on some of those other attractions.
You'd think so. For that kind of price, you'd think you could just keep going around them and just...
Yeah, for that price, I think you want more. I think the thing that's, you know, disappointing, although they do open late through the year, is, like I said, always around the end of October, they do late night openings till midnight. I remember being in the park till midnight, you know, not that long ago. I say that, it's probably 15 years ago. and you don't, you haven't got that option because obviously they're using the park for Journey to Hell, and the two things can't coexist. You can't have, you know, a general late night riding and a quite as intense Halloween experience because, you know, it doesn't mix with families. So you don't get that ordinarily late night rides on Icon. You know, that's only happened because there's been an issue with the Grand National, and you don't get late night rides on Big One as part of Halloween event, which is a bit of a shame. But like we said, I like that they're trying to do something different to other parks. It's just tweaking it a bit, and I think making it value for money. Otherwise, people are going to go, oh, it's not worth it.
And when you think, when we look at other scare attractions at these places that aren't big theme parks, like Tully's, for example.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, other places dotted around the country. You've got like Scare Kingdom.
Yeah, the standalone Halloween.
So what you're getting there is that's meant to be one of the best Halloween events in the country at the minute. So,
and actually, if you look at that, the price comparison, so £45 for Journey to Hell, that's the same as for Tully's. Like, you know, your basic, yeah, your lowest price into Tully's is $44.95 per person. So it's same kind of price, obviously opposite ends of the country. So, you know, depending on where you live, it's, one's going to be easier than the other. But what do you get at Tully's? 11 mazes,
yes,
four
crazy
different live stages, and with like special effects shows and stuff like that. They've got extra fairground rides there as well. They are an upcharge, so they'd be more.
Yeah.
And, you know, some food trucks and that. And that's all kind of comparable to what you'd expect somewhere else. But if you want a pure Halloween attraction, you're not going to get better than that. Like 11 scare mazes.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely insane. Crazy. If you want a just full on Halloween event and just that, you know, that's why I think these parks like Tully's done really well with it, because that's their focus is on that, I guess. Whereas I guess other parks have got other things they're trying to, you know, divide budget to and think about a year as a whole. Whereas I guess places like Tully's and Scare Kingdom and, you know, they've got their focus just on this season. So they can go all in on everything.
Just on Tully's, you know, if you're planning down there or you're looking for somewhere to go, best mazes are looking to be Electric Circus, there's one called The Carving, and the Hollywood Haunted Hayride, which, love that. Route 666.
That makes me sound like Hillbillies.
Is it Hillbill Mine Doors?
Like that, yeah.
But yeah, so, and that's just three. Like we said, there's 11. Apparently, you know, if you want to get around all 11 on a day, it's almost impossible just because of how how long they are, and you know, if they're like 10 minutes long each, 11,
if you're in there for 10 minutes or so, you've got to kind of time it well, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's open from like 5 till 11, so you've only got, you know, a limited amount of time. You can get a an RIP pass or the ultimate RIP experience. That is £165 per person, so that's a lot.
Okay,
you know, even comparing it to like the Merlin, you know, unlimited scare maze tickets, which was about £100, but that was not just for one day. This was like,
no, that's
whenever.
But that's the thing, isn't it? If you're really into that sort of stuff, you're probably, you know, comparing it to other places, you potentially probably would do that, wouldn't you? If you're really into that sort of thing, you know, I can see why that would be appealing.
You get fast track entry with it as well. So if you are trying to get around all 11 of them, you're more likely to do it with one of those. Yeah. Also to point out, you do get one free drink and a £15 merchandise voucher.
So. Excellent. Okay. Depends on what you're looking for. If if you've got a family, you're probably not going to be, you know, doing that sort of thing. Like if you really want, you know, family thing, I guess Legoland and Chessington are your places to visit this year.
That's some great family, you know, Halloween stuff in the, I honestly think if you've got a family, especially a young family, you're kind of spoiled for choice at Halloween, because it has, you know, we've both got young kids and it is a big deal for them, far more so than it was for us growing up. Like Halloween's huge for this generation. And the fact that you've got Chessington doing their the Halloween, and it's nothing intense, you know, it's not like in the olden days where, you know, Chessington
Creepy Caves Creepy Caves was a very intense maze, and it always it's like, what's this doing here? I've just been on Room on the Broom and the Gruffalo River Ride, and then I'm like being chased by like maniacs and like caves and stuff. Like, what's going on?
They've got a family maze there now. Yeah, so it is family.
I was like thinking about this when we were, you know, the other day, thinking about old rides. I remember when Chessington used to have the samurai, you know, we're going back you know, when these parks are trying to figure out what their market is. You know, I remember when Chessington had like rides like the samurai and obviously Ramesses Revenge, and they've obviously had to move the thrill kind of stuff away and then focus mainly on this is a family park. So same with the, you know, Halloween event as well. They've obviously thought maybe Creepy Caves doesn't quite fit the market we're going for here, and try and focus more on their kind of family shows and everything.
Which they're doing, like, again, like Alton Towers, they've got a free scare zone that's called Vile Villagers. They've got a dance party, a bit like, I guess, like they're doing on stage at Towers, like street theater and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're going anyway, it's a nice little add-on. It's nothing overly Halloween intense, but it's there and it's happening, a bit like at Legoland, which has got Brick or Treat. That's been running for a few years now.
It's been going for a while, I feel like, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the Legoland, again, is if you've got younger children particularly as well, I think Legoland is always going to be, you know, popular, and you know it's not going to be too intense and scary. It's Lego, it's lighthearted, it's, you know, I think the only downside with Legoland is because of the nature of it's Lego, it's popular, it's family orientated, that you're going to end up queuing an hour and a half for their particular, you know, Halloween, you know, attractions, which... If you've got kids that aren't patient, you're going to struggle, really.
Who's got a kid who is patient?
Well, you know, who likes, we're older. I still don't like queuing, but there you go. It's, you know, so.
Yeah, I think like Monster Street, you know, that's their kind of walkthrough, trick or treat.
Their trick or treating, isn't it? Yeah,
because it's one family at a time. It can get a really big queue on it, which you want to do it. If you've gone to Legoland at that time of year, you've got young kids with you. Obviously, you know, you want to do the Halloween attraction as part of it, but if it's got a huge queue, not only are you eating into your time to visit other attractions, you are trying to like placate a small child for a long time, and it's everyone ends up having a bad day, which none of us want, especially when you spent quite a lot of money going to Legoland. I don't know how they can fix that, really. But it doesn't seem to be such an issue at Towers with the Haribo attraction. So I don't know.
I think it's just numbers, isn't it? I think again, Scarefest is a great event for all. You know, if you're getting a mixture of everything, whereas at Legoland, I suppose I think they just need a few more things to kind of take up queues. I think maybe you just need a few more different things that are gonna, you know, take in more people. Because if you've got one single thing, Land's just always busy whenever I go.
Is there ever a quiet day?
I have to prepare, you know. I don't think I've ever had a quiet day at Legoland. So I think you just have to be prepared. I don't know if it's the case of when something opens, you know, you just have to get there early and do it first.
Really. Yeah, possibly. Also worth mentioning that the Dragon Coaster at Legoland has got a little disco overlay this year. Love that.
Okay.
I'm in for anything disco.
Disco overlays at the minute. We haven't talked about Hex yet.
Is that another episode? Do you want to go into that on the, we probably should, shouldn't we? Where else are we going to talk about Hex? Have we covered off all of we've covered off the major parks for Halloween?
Pretty much. I mean, Drayton Manor as well. Drayton Manor is good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed their event last year. It's just, you know, again, family thing. I think I enjoyed it last year because they did this great thing to the Haunting where they put the original audio music video back on, so it was very nostalgic for someone like me who remembers the original version of the Haunting. So that was really cool. I'm not sure they're doing that this year. I haven't seen anything about it. No. But again, Drayton Manor, I think they know what they're doing at the minute, Drayton. So so again, another good, if you want a family event, that's another good one to do.
Definitely. I think definitely needs to do an episode on Drayton, actually, because I think it's really interesting how they've developed over the last few years or so. I think just honourable mention, I'm going to shout out the east of England here, which is where I live, for Sundown Adventureland, who are also doing a little family event, which is very cute. If you've got very young kids, sort of under 7, and you've not been there, they will love it. And they're doing a really cute little Halloween event there. And Fantasy Island, which is very close to me, they're bringing back Fear Island this year. And, you know, when we talk about Blackpool and how they're making that work with Journey to Hell, I think Fantasy Island have nailed it. They're giving you the option of just getting a ride wristband or doing like a combi Fear Island ride wristband type thing. They've got several scare mazes there, you know, for a park that doesn't get talked about a lot and it's not got you know the huge major attractions that some of them other parks have got. It kind of goes all out for Halloween and it does it really well, so it's definitely worth a visit. If you've never been, Halloween would be a decent time for you to go and visit it and do that extra stuff there as well. So that, yeah, in summary, I think what we're saying is Tully's is probably the best Halloween experience you can get if you want pure scare mazes.
Yeah.
For an overall Halloween general experience with rides, though, I think Scarefest has done all right this year.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think there's still a lot they could do to improve it massively. Yeah. But I think if you've got children of a mixture of ages, I think it's kind of good for them.
Yeah. But in terms of mazes itself, in a Merlin point of view, Thought Park
has
got the better mazes.
So you've got to visit everywhere.
You've got to go
basically.
Basically, this episode's been pointless. Sorry for wasting your time.
Sorry, we've just explained that.
Whilst we are here, we're talking about
You're going to get mixed. You're going to get a mixed event wherever you go, apart from Tully's. So, yeah.
Whilst we are here, and like you said, you've mentioned Hex. Let's just tag that onto the end of this episode, because obviously it did reopen for Scarefest, in inverted commas, for 24 hours until it broke again, which was a bit of scenery.
You had one job. Just to the door needs to slide open and close.
And not get caught up in the mechanism.
Yeah.
Sorry, missed that. We actually joked on this podcast a few weeks ago that would we get to ride Hex before it broke again? And I didn't, because I went to Scarefest on the Monday, after it had opened on the Friday. So it was still shut. Mm-hmm. You did get to ride it because you went on the Wednesday.
Yeah, the day
it was reopened, the day Wicker Man was closed. We can't have 100% availability. Come on. But you got to go on Hex. So very quickly, your thoughts.
Okay, so I guess as you may know by now, I'm a man who I am glass half full. Okay, so I'm going on that positive. I like to be positive. So it was great having it open again, and I think just being in that building and that ride again is great. It's great to have it open. I think it's just a fantastic attraction for the park to have open again. There have been a lot of lighting and audio updates. Some are good, some are not so good. And I'll get to the not so good later. They've subtly changed. Obviously, it's not even a pre-show, the bit where you go down and you have the portrait of Charles Talbot, and they do the little kind of welcome to the magnificent ancestral home.
This
and
used to kind be part of the queue, off. Right?
Yes, so that was the queue. That was the turnstile. So you went through
but
the turnstile.
But now you don't. You queue outside.
No, queue outside. There's they've kind of blocked it off. There's a doorway to get into that first bit. I think they've potentially done it to kind of block off kind of any natural light. So in the daytime, the problem with that is the doors for ride accessibility is in that bit. So they've closed it off. But if the door still opens, you're going to get natural light in there anyway. But anyway, so they've done that, I guess, to kind of block it off. It didn't really need blocking off because it's not a pre-show bit. It was just you gathered in that area to go through into the the first bit. But again, there's subtle little lighting. It's the smell pods in there now, so you get that musty smell again walking through. The atmospheric music still playing, the ambient music in the background, just subtle bits of lighting here and there. The scenes are kind of still, the bit of artifacts they've found during the restoration are all still all there. They've been lit up. And then they've added some lighting into the main first pre-show where you watch the story. So there's a few moments where when the lightning bolt strikes the tree, there's lightning flashes in that room. So I quite like that. I quite like there's some subtle bits. So they use lighting when the branch hits the ground, there's flames, the lighting goes like yellow and orange and stuff and creates. So that's quite nice and atmospheric in there. And then you go into the octagon room. The audio's been redone on that whole bit. It's a lot louder. It's very clear what's happening. The only sad thing is they've put in new flat screen TVs in that bit, and again you get that when they go off there's still light being projected out from them. Unlike the original screens that they did put back in because of that issue, so when all the lights go out it's not complete, you're not in pitch black, because that was always the bit that was very atmospheric, very creepy, was once all the lights went off you were just stood there in pitch black. You don't get that now because you get the screens create that extra light. But all of that sequence is still the same. It's still, you've still got the mannequin of the old woman up on the balcony bit and the scaffolding, which I've never liked. I always felt like they could do more with that, but she's still there. The wind blows out, the curtains still move, and The only weird thing is the generator. I don't know if you remember the generator effect is when it would start to spark when the generator's cutting out. Well, when you're watching the video and that video cuts out and then all the weird stuff starts happening. So they've got a pyrotechnics box, but it's not coming from the generator. It's kind of in front of the generator and it kind of sparks upwards into the air.
Right.
If you're nearby it, it's very obvious that it's not coming from the generator. So whereas before it would spark from kind of behind it and around to create that weird and then it cuts off. Whereas it's this massive spark firework that comes out and it's very obvious that there's like this black box in front of it. So it's kind of obvious that the spark is not coming from the generator, which is a bit weird. But again, all the lighting stuff is nice in there. And when you go through the tunnel into the actual main vault area, it's nicely lit as well. It's a lot of blue lighting. I think they're trying to make it look, create this kind of cold feel. And then you get into the vault. And this is where I started to feel a bit frustrated with the lighting. It seems like the budget's gone on lighting. I feel like that's what's happened. It's like everything is like someone's gone to town on, like someone's been given this huge budget and thinking, fantastic, look at all this money. I can do all this with this lighting. Great, I'm going to change everything. And what was great about Hex before was the eeriness and creepiness of the attraction was through subtlety, and everything was very subtle. It wasn't in your face. Whether they're trying to make it more family friendly to try and light things up a bit more, I don't know. But what was creepy about it was the darkness, and you couldn't quite see, but everything was very subtly lit and done. Whereas now it's very bright, and that's particularly in the vault now. So whereas before, when you were sat there waiting for it to start, it was very kind of low light.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bright, but now everything's very brightly lit. And it's the same once the room starts rotating round, it's a bright light show. It's very intensely lit. It's not subtly lit. You know, the lighting would used to fade slowly in and out as it changed, whereas now it's very on and off all the time. And the main thing that was different as well was the little fiber optic lights in the actual tree branch itself.
Oh, in the branch, yeah.
Before, when it came to an end, it would just glow and they would flicker on and off. They're on throughout the whole sequence now, and they change color as well now. And then the bit at the very end when you're kind of upside down, before it kind of flash, you know, like purple kind of strobe subtly, now you get this weird disco light effect, like a disco ball effect, as it's like which again you're there going, huh,
yeah, doesn't quite fit.
So all in all, I think that it's great to have it back. It's always been one of my favorite dark rides, but I think it was always one of my favorite dark rides because of its subtlety. It didn't have to try to be anything that it's not, because the main thing is the vault is the only thing that's not in the towers, really. Whereas you can use the towers as pure theming, because you know you didn't have to do that much to create this atmospheric and eerie attraction, and it was just in the vault that was the big showpiece. So I think I was just slightly disappointed in that they've had all of this time, but they've added all this lighting in, and it kind of takes away. It's very distracting. I think that's the thing. It's very distracting. I'm saying this as someone who's been on it since 2000. So, yeah. I'm someone that's been on it for, all this time. There was people on it, and this is, again, John Wardley mentioned it in our interview with him, was what's enjoyable for me is I'm watching people's reactions still.
Yeah.
So there were still people on it. You could tell, they've never been on it. They're looking around, expression on their face of like, whoa, what's going on? As someone who's been at a lot, I can look at it as I don't like the way they've done the lighting and it's over the top and so forth. But for other people who've never been on it, you're still getting the same kind of reaction. So, if I'm trying to be positive about it, it's still creating the same effect I think it always has.
Yeah.
And the other positive thing as well, it's not something they can't fix.
Yeah.
If they completely added something in that was new and different, and you're kind of like, if you didn't like Curse at Alta Manor, you're kind of stuck because a lot of it, you can't change it now. But with Hex, all they need to do is look at the lighting and probably just tone it back a bit. There's ways they can hide the pyrotechnic stuff to make it look like it's still coming out from the generator, not from a box in front of it. If they really looked at it and thought, okay, maybe the disco thing is a bit too far at the end, you can turn it off. It's fixable, I think.
Overall, can you see why it's been shut for two seasons?
I can, but not because of lighting, no. If there's certain parts you need to get from Vekoma in order to fix the Madhouse section of the ride,
yeah,
that's probably what the main issue, I think, ultimately, and I'm just obviously going off what I think, is it doesn't take that long. I think they were obviously having issues with the main drum and the main Madhouse parts that need replacing and the cost of that. And I think it's obviously taken them longer to be able to negotiate with Vekoma or get the right parts to, you know, to fix this particular issue. So, and I guess that must be the case because we were shown videos of it back in March of the new lighting.
Yeah.
So they've obviously had it all set up. They've obviously had it all ready to go. I think that was the main issue they've obviously had. So I think it's been closed for far too long. And that's always the thing, isn't it? When you've been waiting for something to reopen for such a long time, you do have a high expectation. Because I think that was the thing with Hex. It was fine the way it was. Yeah, it was, you know, like over so many years, it's always great to update the audio and add in, you know, new speakers and new this and that to keep it fresh. It's kind of like when Disney do, you know, in Disneyland Paris, they were doing this for a lot of their rides, like Phantom Manor. They spent, you know, 18 months, you know, it's still the same, really the same layout and ride is still pretty much the with a few changes to animatronics, but everything's been updated. So you get the same ride experience, but it's, you know, it's been updated with new technology to help it to last. And I think Hex was similar, that it just needed, you know, subtle updates to keep it running. I don't think they needed to go all out and spend loads of money on all this lighting, which really, I think it was just a bit overkill.
But it is back open for now. It
is back open. It's
running well now. Yeah.
And, you know,
it's another attraction at the park where, like you say, if you have got, you know, not very young kids, but, you know, kids who are not 1.4, it's something else that they can go on. And it's
great. We've got four dark rides at Alton Towers that are all open now. Whereas a time where we hardly had any because of COVID and things not open in time and things closed because this and that. But, you know, now that we've got Curse at Alton Manor, we've got Subterra open, we've got Hex open and Gangster Granny. So you've got four very uniquely different dark rides open again. Which is great because I love my dark rides. So the fact that we've got, I am. So
we will keep an eye on it next season. I mean, like you say, I'm sure nothing's going to change now before the end of the season, but you never know over close season what they might surprise us with. Obviously another new attraction coming to Alton Towers next year, which we all kind of know about as well, and which has just started being teased. So we'll see where their attentions get drawn to. Right, that's it for our Halloween episode. We'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are enjoying this podcast, by the way, please do drop us a rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe so that whenever we release a new episode, you'll get a little handy notification about it. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.